All right, Matthew chapter 27 this morning. And again, we'll be there momentarily. But on this Easter morning, as the sun rises, we remember, of course, the sun who rose, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. But before there was a resurrection, there was a cross, and we've sung about that this morning, the cross of Calvary, the cross of Golgotha. And before celebration, there was substitution. And this morning, as we gather to, yes, celebrate the resurrection, we're going to meet a man who, as we read the account this morning, we find out very quickly, he's a man who should have died. He is a man who should have been condemned to death, but he walked free. And he walked free because Jesus took his place. Of course, that man that I'm talking about this morning, his name was Barabbas. And whether you know it or not, his story is our story. We are, this morning, Barabbas. And the story of Barabbas is but a microcosm of what we see to be a very sinful world. What we see to be a very sinful humanity. And rather than getting what he deserved, we find out that Jesus died in his place. And like Barabbas, the wages of our sin is death. But we can praise God this morning that Jesus paid the debt that we owed so that we could be set free, so that we could go free. And so you're there in Matthew chapter 27, and I would draw your attention to beginning at verse number 15 down through verse number 26. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse number 15 down through verse number 26. The Bible says this: "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. For a few moments more, I'd like us to look at this simple thought of Barabbas and me. Barabbas and me. Here in Matthew chapter 27, where we find ourselves this morning, we find very quickly the stage being set here in Matthew 27. We find, of course, Jesus, and he is standing before Pilate. And we find Jesus, he is accused, but he is innocent. And then we have the other man, Barabbas. Barabbas, he stands guilty. The Bible tells us he was an insurrectionist, a thief, a murderer. And so Pilate, he now offers a choice to the people. You can have Jesus, or you can have Barabbas. And in a shocking twist, although now looking at it now with 20/20 hindsight, it really shouldn't be so shocking. But the crowd cries, "Give us Barabbas." And so this innocent man, Jesus, is condemned. And this guilty man, Barabbas, is set free. It reminds me of the story of a boy and his sister about the fact that Easter begins with an incredible story of substitution. In his book, Written in Blood, Robert Coleman tells the story of a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. The doctor explained that she had the same disease the boy had recovered from just 2 years prior. And her only chance for recovery was a transfusion from someone who had previously beaten the disease, from someone who had previously conquered the disease. And since the two children had the same rare blood type, the boy turned out to be the ideal donor. And the doctor asked Johnny, "Would you give your blood to Mary?" Well, of course, as you can imagine, Johnny, he kind of hesitated for a little bit. His lower lip started to tremble. Then he smiled and said, "Sure, for my sister." Soon the two children were wheeled into the hospital room, Mary pale and thin, Johnny robust and healthy. Neither spoke. Johnny's smile crept across his face. Their eyes met. And as the nurse inserted the needle into his arms, all of a sudden that smile that had crept across his face began to fade. And he watched the blood flow through the tube. And when the ordeal was almost over, his voice, slightly shaking, broke the silence. And he asked the doctor, he said, "Well, doctor, when do I die?" Only then did the doctor realize why Johnny had hesitated, why his lip had trembled when he agreed to donate his blood. He thought giving his blood to his sister meant giving up his life. And in that moment, he'd made his great decision. Fortunately, as we could probably guess and surmise, Johnny didn't have to die to save his sister. But each one of us here this morning, we have a condition that is far more serious than Mary's. And it required Jesus to give not just his blood, but his life for you and for me. That is love. That is substitution. That is Jesus. And so there's several things I wanted to see this morning. Number one, I wanted to see the criminal. I wanted to see the criminal. And so here we have this man named Barabbas. And this man named Barabbas is standing before Pilate, who was guilty of his crimes. Now, according to the scriptures, according to the Bible, Barabbas was a thief. John 18:40, the Bible says, "Then cried they all again, saying, 'Not this man, but Barabbas.'" Now, Barabbas was a robber, but not only was he a thief, the Bible also tells us that he was an insurrectionist and that he was a murderer. Mark 15:7, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And so here we have Barabbas. And Barabbas is being held by the authorities, and he was destined to be killed for his crimes. He was destined to be crucified for his crimes. And so here comes Jesus, and Jesus takes on the punishment that Barabbas deserved. That's the man that we're dealing with this morning. He's a criminal. And now, we see, secondly, Pilate is going to give them the choice. Notice there, if you would, verse 15 of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 15. The Bible says, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would." So according to this passage, Pilate had a habit of releasing one prisoner of the people's choosing in honor of the Jewish Passover holiday. Now, this may have been a way of keeping the peace in the region. And so Pilate here offers the people a choice between, you can release Barabbas or you can release Jesus. And so we know that they chose to crucify Jesus. They let Barabbas go free. And so this innocent man, Jesus, took on the punishment that Barabbas had earned. And by the way, not much has changed in the 2,000 plus years since Jesus did this for Barabbas. Because even today, humanity still chooses wrongly. But Jesus still takes our place. And that's what grace is this morning. That's what love is this morning. That Jesus would take our place. And so we see the criminal this morning. We see the choice. And then thirdly this morning, we see the cross. We see the cross. Like Barabbas this morning, we deserve death. We're sinners. And without a Savior, we deserve death. But also like Barabbas this morning, we find out very quickly Jesus has taken our place. The Bible tells us he went to the cross to pay that price that we could not pay. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." And so we have here at Easter time, at resurrection time, the church, we celebrate the freedom that has been given to followers of Jesus because Jesus became our substitute. There's a, when we're talking about being, having a substitute, this is a theological position known as penile substitutionary atonement. That's the big fancy phrase for what Jesus did for us. Penile substitutionary atonement. And penile substitutionary atonement refers to the doctrine that Christ died on the cross as a substitute for sinners. God took his righteousness and he imputed the guilt of our sins to Christ. That word impute means he took it and he put it on Christ. And he, in our place, bore the punishment that we deserve. This was a full payment for sins, which satisfied both the wrath and the righteousness of God. so that he could forgive sinners without compromising his holy standard, without compromising who he is. And this doctrinal understanding of Jesus' crucifixion takes sin as a serious offense, and that sin must be atoned for. And so here we have Jesus. And so Jesus, he takes Barabbas' cross. But I want you to remember something this morning. He did not just take Barabbas' cross. He took our cross. He took my cross. And he took your cross. He bore our punishment so that we could be free. He was the sacrifice that satisfied God's justice. The Bible tells us that all of humanity is guilty of sin. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible tells us that we have earned death for all the ways that we have rebelled against God. Romans 6:23, the Bible tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." One of the clearest explanations of sin and sin's wages that we can find is found in the Barnes Notes on the Bible. Barnes said this about the wages of sin. He said, "The word translated here is wages. Properly denotes what is purchased to be eaten with bread, as fish, flesh, vegetables, etc. And thence it means the pay of the Roman soldier. Because formerly it was the custom to pay the soldier in these things. It means hence what a man earns or deserves, what is his proper pay, or what he merits. As applied to sin, it means that death is what sin deserves. What will be its proper reward?" And so when Jesus went to that cross for you and for me, he took our place. He substituted himself on Calvary for us. And then fourthly, and finally this morning, we see the covering. We see the covering. We see that what takes place between Jesus and Barabbas is best understood in the New Testament concept of another big word, and that's the word propitiation. Propitiation, the Bible tells us, is the act of appeasement through sacrifice. 1 John 2:2, the Bible tells us, "And he, being Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." We find that this appeasement comes through the shedding of blood. Romans 3:25, the Bible says, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." And so Paul, as he's writing the book of Romans, he takes and he pulls from the Old Testament, and he takes the Old Testament concept that was prominent at that time in the Jewish faith, that the blood of a sacrifice was paramount in appeasing God and receiving forgiveness in the temple. There was a particular place where the blood would be sprinkled on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. We know that this location came to be known as the mercy seat. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, "And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And so here we have Jesus as the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled over the ark containing the Ten Commandments. God would then look down from heaven, and he would not see the law of God that had been broken, but rather God would see the sacrifice that covered the sins of the people. And so now we fast forward. Jesus is our propitiation. He is our mercy seat. Because his blood shed on the cross covers our sin once for all. And now when the God of heaven looks down at us and he looks at us, he doesn't see sin anymore. He sees the fact that we are now covered by the blood of the Lamb. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our propitiation, that his blood covers our sin. And just like the blood on the mercy seat in the Old Testament, his sacrifice is final. It's complete and sufficient. The importance of Jesus' substitution is not just to free us from the wages of sin, but also to offer us eternal life. Barabbas was given a second chance at life. You and I this morning, we have been given that same opportunity for a newness of life as well, both now and forever. Years ago, the chancellor of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, George Sweeting, he was illustrating the principle of substitution as told by a series of tornadoes that caused extensive damage in eastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania. In those tornadoes, nearly 100 lives were lost. Prior to the storm, a man named David Coxta was umpiring a Little League baseball game in Wheatland, Pennsylvania. When he saw the black funnel heading toward the field, he rushed into the stands and grabbed his niece. He pushed her into a nearby ditch and covered her with his body. And it was just then at that time that the tornado struck. And when the young person looked up, her uncle was gone. He had given his life in the storm to save her. Folks, I want you to know this morning that Jesus, out of his love for you and for me, covered us by his sacrificial death on Calvary. That's who Jesus is this morning. He took the storm for us. Barabbas walked free because Jesus took his place. You and I this morning, we walk free because Jesus took ours. That's Easter. That's Resurrection Sunday. That's the gospel. That's grace. Don't waste it. Receive it this morning. After I had been working on this message, I saw this photo this week. But it says this. Setting Barabbas free makes no sense to me until I realize Barabbas is me. You and I this morning, we were Barabbas. We are Barabbas. We're guilty of sin. And Jesus, because of his love, died for us and he rose again. That's the gospel. That's grace. Don't waste what Jesus has done for us.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.